60% of the people there were exhausted by the time they got down to the judges. Or the number's very close to that. So it was an exercise in futility. I love the court. Even the bad days, I loved to work in the court. I remember it fondly. I respected my colleagues despite these tough cases we've talked about. I cherished the privilege of being involved as I was in running the continuing judicial education program for Michigan's judges. I loved the court as an institution and wanted to stay there, but I simply could not bring myself to look forward with much enthusiasm to a third statewide campaign. It was perfectly clear to me that I had written enough for the court that the labor movement and the plaintiffs' bar association generally in the state were laying for me. I felt I could probably win another election because of the maniac fashion in which I always approached judicial elections. But it was going to be a tax on the court and on my family and on my own self-respect to beg money again from lawyers who very often didn't want to donate it. So, despite the fact that I loved the court, I began to think about leaving. I had been in the judiciary for about 23 years. And I did something on the spur of the moment. I didn't have any contacts in the political parties in Michigan. I think I'd only met Governor Milligan once before he appointed me. I saw in the newspaper in January of 85 that a former member of the Michigan Supreme Court by the name of George Edwards was retiring from the United States Court of Appeals in Cincinnati. And so I wrote a letter to the President of the United States. Dear President Reagan, my name is Jim Ryan, etc., and I enclosed my resume and asked to be considered for appointment to the United States Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit. I also wrote a letter to Attorney General Meese. I never felt sillier in my whole life since I had no political clout and no pull, and nobody else knew I was doing this except my secretary, Fran Orzel. So I sent the two letters off and decided the next day that that was the height of silliness. And I better get ready for the re-election campaign to be conducted the next year, 1986. These letters went off in late January, early February, and the rest is history. Having dinner one night in March, I received a telephone call from the Justice Department, which our youngest daughter, then 18 years old, answered and said, he's having his dinner, could you call back? And she hung up. She laughs about that now. I said, who is that? She said, I don't know, some judge or something. I said, Kate, who was it, honey? She said, a guy said to the Justice Department. And I said, the Justice Department? What did you tell him? He said, I told him you're having your dinner to call back. Well, I damn near died. It was a Friday night. Well, the young man did call back later, and that was the beginning of the end of my career in the Michigan Supreme Court, resulted in President Reagan's appointment to this court in October of that year, 1985. And I left the court in December of 85 for the Supreme Court with a wonderfully warm and really a loving dinner party, which was hosted by my friend and philosophical adversary, Chuck Levin, at his residence in Detroit. All the members of the court were present. It was an elegant affair, and it was an evening of warmth and affection, which was really typical of the kind of court we had nearly always for 10 years. And I left the Supreme Court the last day of December with genuinely ambivalent feelings about this turn in my career. I knew I'd never be as happy again, or thought I'd never be as happy again in the work I would do as I was for those 10 years. And while I do love the work teaching now, and I find it an enormous intellectual challenge every day. I must say that those 10 years in the Michigan Supreme Court were the happiest years of my professional career.
This is the end of the ex-Justice Ryan tapes on November 13th, 14th, and today the 15th.